Hi guys, hope everyone's well and welcome back to the Improvement Podcast. So in this episode, I'm going to touch on how I'm bringing up my weak muscle groups and my physique throughout this off-season before stepping on stage again in most likely 2028. And the obviously benefit of maybe bringing this episode to you guys is you could then extrapolate this information and apply it to whatever muscle groups you're maybe struggling to develop and basically know how to then bring them up and then turn those weaknesses into potentially strengths, or if not, just not weaknesses. And in terms of what my weak muscle groups are that I'm trying to bring up, it's mainly my upper body, more so my chest, delts, and arms. And my back's not too bad. Obviously, I still need more muscle everywhere, still want more muscle everywhere. But in terms of what my needs are and what needs brought up the most, it's going to be those muscle groups. And in terms of how I am going about bringing them up, it's first of all, it's going to be execution. So when we're thinking about kind of bringing up any muscle group, execution is one of the things that should come first. Execution and effort. And the reason being is, see, if I am executing my work in a poor fashion, then the quality is poor, and doing more poor quality work is going to yield more poor quality results. So it's always good improving your execution first before doing more. For example, if I am pressing and I am biasing my shoulders and triceps instead of my chest, me doing more work on that movement, me doing more sets, isn't going to grow my chest any better. It's going to stay a weakness because my execution's not in a good spot to bias that target muscle group. So always address your execution before thinking about adding in more work. And get the absolute most you can out of the current work. And in terms of what would be good execution, it is making sure you're bracing or breathing well, your arm path is spot on, or the stance is spot on, depending on obviously what muscle group body part you're training. You are having appropriate tempo for that movement. You are making sure that you aren't kind of using like a poor range of motion. You're maximizing the range of motion you're training in. So there are kind of a few things you want to look at. So a good range of motion, good control, making sure your arm path or stance is appropriate, or your kind of posture is appropriate. Obviously it's hard to kind of give general recommendations for every single body part, but I think you get the drift. And a good analogy is like, see, when you get more advanced, you're able to get more out of less, which is a great skill to have and something you should always try and develop. And a good way to look at it is like, if you're playing against a professional dart player, for you to score the same score, you might need double the darts. And what I mean by that is, if you're really experienced in the gym, you're like the professional dart player. You can get more out of less. And that should always be our aim. Instead of thinking about, right, how do I get more darts, think, how can you have a better score with the same amount of darts? In other words, how can you get more out of the same amount of work? And that saves you just doing a lot of junk and doing a lot of unnecessary work, which will therefore put unnecessary stress on your joints and also accumulate unnecessary amounts of fatigue. So execution should always be addressed first, as well as effort. So ensure you get the most out of your current work from an effort point of view. Obviously, I know people have different approaches to training. Some people train reps in reserve, some people train to failure. I'm not here to kind of discuss which one's kind of optimal in this episode. But make sure your effort's at least in a good spot to get a good amount of effective reps. Because, again, more poor quality work will lead to more poor quality results. So, if effort can be better, then address that before adding more. Also, see if you are trying to improve your effort, or effort's something you're not great at. If you give yourself 6 sets on the leg press, you're not going to be able to actually work on improving your effort, because effort's a skill that takes time to develop. And if you know you've got 5 more sets after your first, your effort's not going to be there for that first. So I'd rather see someone do actual less sets, but make sure their effort's in a good spot in comparison to, let's say, doing more but having poor quality effort. Because we need to get those stimulative reps. It's shown that the reps that are close to failure, let's say this is just like a, again, an arbitrary number, but let's say the last 5 reps from failure, they're deemed the most effective reps. The closer to failure we get, the more our reps slow down in terms of speed. And that's involuntary, meaning the more, if we're doing, let's say, a chest press, the slower reps move when we're pressing up, the more stimulative they are going to be. Again, not purposely going slow, but going as fast as you can, but they'll involuntary slow down pretty much. So ensure you're getting the most from your current work. And when it comes to like effort, like find whatever gives you that energy and fuel to perform. So if that's kind of music, if that's thinking about your goals, if that's thinking about your why, if that's thinking about maybe something even negative, just like find what fuels you, find what fuels you for each set. And that might look different depending on the day, depending on the exercise. Sometimes I go into sets thinking about like what maybe frustrates me, like about getting beaten in certain shows, for example. And then other days I go in thinking about like who I have around me supporting me, and I want to do well for them. As weird as it sounds, just find what works, find what fuels you, find what gives you that passion and fire and allows you to get all out of your sets. So after execution and effort have been addressed, we then want to think about exercise selection. So we want to make sure we're picking appropriate exercises for the job. If you're trying to grow your, let's say, quads and you're really not built for squatting, and you really really struggle staying upright, then the squat's probably not going to be the best option for you, and that's going to limit kind of maybe your progress potentially. If you're wanting to maximize the amount of quads you're getting out of that movement, probably not the best option. So when it comes to exercise selection, we want to make sure we're picking movements that are stable. So ones where balance isn't a limiting factor, we're pretty locked in, which is why maybe doing some pressing movements on machines can be advantageous. Not that you need to do every pressing movement on a machine, but if all your presses are performed in free weight or circumstances, so you're using dumbbells, barbells, cables, you might be limiting your progress due to all your movements being unstable. So again, I wouldn't put all your eggs in one basket and just rely on free weights alone for that reason. As well as being hard to kind of have load at the top of the movement when you are doing barbell movements. It's hard to kind of load the shortened position of things like your chest, for example. And also, we want the target muscle being the limiting factor. And what that means is if you're doing a chest press and your triceps fail before your chest, that means you're not getting those stimulative reps close to failure for your chest. So you want to make sure whatever we're trying to work and improve is the muscle that's actually failing. We also want to make sure it allocates and allows a good range of motion. So, for example, if you've got a chest press machine available, but you can't get a good stretch at all, you might be better off using dumbbells for that reason, although they're less stable. So making sure you can take the movement through like a large range. Not every movement you do needs to be through 100% of a joint's range of motion. It's going to be impossible on some actual body parts to do that on, but you just want a fairly decent range of motion. And if you've got machines that maybe don't allow that, you can think maybe how can you adapt them to maybe allocate more range, like putting a yoga mat on the leg press, or adjusting machine settings, or potentially just manipulating the machine in some other form depending on what the machine is. So we want to have like appropriate range of motion. Again, it doesn't need to be like a extremely large range of motion and like stupidly large amount, but fairly decent it should be. And also like a good resistance profile is ideal. Not needed, not you don't require it, but it's ideal, like if you want to get the most out of things. What a resistance profile is where the movement's hard and where the movement's easy. And ideally, like when we're training body parts, like let's say our chest, we don't want to have all our movements where we're failing maybe in that lockout in that top position, and we've got a lot more oomph, a lot more power in that stretch, because we're not actually overloading and failing in that stretch position. So if you don't have access to machines that maybe get lighter as you get weaker, you won't need it as much for like chest movements, because most chest movements are pretty light in the at the top. Like some chest press machines aren't, but things like a barbell press, dumbbell press, Smith machine press, they'll naturally get a bit lighter as you press up, so they're not it's not really the end of the world if you don't have it for chest. It's more so like back movements where it can be advantageous. So using like a T-bar row can be a good idea. Using things like if you've seen the Prime machines I post on Instagram, the ones with the different loading pegs, they can be a great tool if you have access to them. So if you do, use them. If you don't, then don't stress, because you don't have access to them anyway, so the stress isn't going to do you any good. And what we can also consider when it comes to like having a good resistance profile is, again, if you don't have access to movements where it does get lighter as we get weaker, then what you can do instead is perform partials. So if you find you do like a certain back machine later on in your session and you fail really early at the top, but you've got a lot more oomph left in other parts of the lift, you can then perform partials so you fail in that full range and you're making sure you're getting the most out of things in that regard. And after making sure our exercise selection's in a good spot and we're picking movements again that are pretty stable, we're in a environment where the target muscle's failing, we've got a good resistance profile and a good range of motion, we can also consider things like our training split. So making sure your training split suits your needs. For example, if someone's goal was to bring up their legs and they were doing, let's say, push pull legs, then that's obviously not advantageous because they're not really doing that much work for their legs throughout the week. They're only training their legs in one session, which means probably the quality of the work will be lower because the more sets you do per session for a body part, the less return for your investment you get from it. So ideally, splitting your work up is a not bad idea. So for a good example of it is for myself, my needs, like I said, is my upper body, primarily my chest, delts, and arms. So my split is like a push-pull legs, push back and hamstring split. What that allows is 2 days designated towards just my chest, shoulders, and triceps, which are weak body parts. 2 days basically devoted towards pulling, the pull and back and hamstring session, and then 1 day designated towards legs and a tag a bit of leg work on then the back and hamstrings. So there you can see I don't have quite as much work for my legs and I've got more work towards my upper body. And when I do things like push, it's my first training day on after a rest day, so I'm fresh and my fatigue's low, so I can get the most out of that work. And then when I am training pull, obviously it's only my second day after push day, the first half of the week. And then when I do back and hamstrings, I start with my back work. So again, that's getting prioritized and my leg work's at the end where I've got less physical and mental energy. Because if you're doing, let's say, your weak body parts, your third training day at the row, or at the end of sessions, the quality of the work's going to be lower and you're not going to be able to get as much out of it because you're performing it in more of a fatigued state. And I'm overall not blasting the volume for my lower body or not doing an absolute ton of volume for my lower body because, like if I'm doing a ton from a lower body, that takes up from my ability to recover and do more work from upper body. A good analogy is you've got a glass, right? The glass is your recovery capabilities, right? Let's say the glass is full and half of that has been filled up by the leg work you're doing and your upper body's weak, then you've only got half the glass to fill up with your upper body work. In other words, you only got half your recovery to allocate towards your upper body work. Whereas if, let's say, the glass is only like maybe a tenth of the way full from lower body, then you've got a lot more work you can recover from your upper body. Because if you're blasting your lower body work and then blasting your upper body work and you're doing more than you can recover from, the glass is only so big, you can only fit so much water in it. So it will basically exceed your recovery capabilities. Which is why it's beneficial maybe having less volume for your stronger body parts, so that you can allocate more physical and mental energy towards your weak body parts. And you don't necessarily need, like, if someone's listened to this and they've been training for a year or two, I wouldn't say this matters in terms of doing less for your weak body parts, because in the nicest way possible, you're probably all your muscle groups are quite weak in the fact that because you're early on to training, your ability to build muscle is that great that you probably just need more muscle everywhere because you're not that advanced a trainee, which is fine and it's not a bad thing and it's not me trying to be rude, but it just means it's like someone, maybe I'm trying to think of a good example. It's like why try and perfect things if you've not kind of got the main kind of bulk of your work done, if that makes sense. It's like you should really kind of focus on slapping as much muscle as possible before worrying about the fine details, if that makes sense. And that's going to be a better use of your time and overall lead to having a better physique. Whereas if someone's, let's say, been training 10 years, that's the time to kind of fine-tune things, if that makes sense. And in terms of, it's like if someone's trying to make their car faster and right now they've got a Vauxhall Corsa that's the same, that's from 2002, like my first car, and then they're thinking about maybe putting carbon fiber seats in before worrying about like changing the engine or putting better wheels on it or actually just getting a better car. So what I'm trying to say there is it's like they're focus on the things that will give you the most return for your investment when you're early on in your career or your training career, you could say. or maybe not career, but training journey, you could say. And next up, we can think about doing more frequency and more volume. So what I'm basically doing for my arms is I'm hitting them 3 times a week. So I'll train my biceps Tuesday, Thursday on a rest day when I'm personal training, and also on a Saturday. And then triceps, I'm training Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So I'm giving them more opportunities to grow. The reason being is every time you hit muscle group, you're signaling muscle growth if you do appropriate amount of work and appropriate amount of effort. So they're basically triggering muscle growth, recovering, triggering muscle growth again, recovering, triggering muscle growth again. So I'm training 3 times a week frequency, giving my arms more opportunities to grow. I'm basically telling them grow more frequently. And that's a good way of increasing volume while keeping the quality of your work high. Because if I'd, let's say, done that work all in one session, the quality would be poor. The more work you do again per session for a body part, generally you'll get less return for investment the more sets you do. Meaning the fifth set you do for your back is going to be more stimulative than the 10th set you do. Same with your arms. If you're doing 4 sets for a bicep, the first four are going to be a lot more stimulative than your 12th set. You're just not going to get as much out of it, which you can kind of feel intuitively throughout a session as well. And that's a benefit of having a higher frequency approach. You can split the work up so it's better quality and gives yourself more opportunities to trigger muscle growth. So consider that if you're wanting to maybe train muscle groups more frequently. And what you want to be careful of is you can recover from it, meaning like if you are training more frequently, you want to make sure the amount of work you're doing is probably lower per session. Because if, let's say, I'm training my arms 3 times a week and then or arms is a bad example because they recover really fast. Let's say I'm training my chest Monday and then Wednesday, and on Monday I do 20 sets of chest. I'm going to be trashed for Wednesday and I'm not going to recover in time, which means I'm not going to be able to progress my lifts in Wednesday's session. That's the best way to know if you're doing too much work. If you're still being able to progress your lifts session to session, week to week, you're probably not doing too much work that you can recover from and you're probably doing an appropriate amount. So lastly, what I'm doing is intensifier. So this is pretty much ways to get more volume in a shorter period of time. So when I fail during my arm work or when I'm doing a chest fly, I'm doing partials, which is basically like half reps, 50-50 reps, where I can't kind of complete that repetition. So at the bottom of a chest fly, for example, or doing, let's say, the bottom of a bicep curl after I fail using a full range. And again, that's just ways to accumulate more volume. And I'm also doing DC stretches. So after I finish training my chest, shoulders, and triceps, I'll hold the bottom of a dip and allow myself to get stretched into it. Press against it like I'm doing a dip and let that stretch go deeper and repeat that process to again accumulate more effective work because it's shown that passive tension can contribute towards muscle growth. Also, I'll do like isometric holds. So after I've failed on, let's say, an overhead extension, I'll hold that stretch at the bottom and contract into it as hard as I can, similar to a DC stretch. And I'll also perform drop sets. So once I perform a set to failure, I'll drop the set, drop the weight, and then perform another set to failure. So I'm kind of doing everything in my power, as you can see, to kind of bring up these muscle groups by doing as much work as I can recover from, hitting them frequently, making sure my effort's good, execution's good, and my exercise selection's on point. And lastly, what I'd say is never be complacent. Always think when you're going into your sessions, how can I get more from this lift? How can I get more from this muscle, from this movement? How can I get more from this session as a whole? Like, how can you improve the quality of your work? How can you improve other areas as well? And lastly, something to consider is outside the gym, you want to make sure you've got a necessary surplus to build muscle, meaning enough calories there available to support muscle growth and gradually take your body weight up because that's the position you build muscle in best. And also, you want to make sure consistency of things like sleep, stress management are also good outside the gym because we know that's going to have an impact in your ability to recover and build muscle effectively. Hope you've enjoyed the episode. Any kind of episodes you'd like or any topics you'd like covered, let me know. If you did enjoy the episode, please show us any support. It's massively appreciated. If that's liking, subscribing, leaving a rating or review, and any story tags on Instagram would be massively appreciated.